I'm ready when you're ready. Good morning. We're in some special times, aren't we, this morning? And thought about the song today that says, in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. You know, we thank the Lord this morning that we can have that anchor and not be afraid in a devastating way. We all experience a little fear of future at times, but we know that we have an anchor, and we thank God this morning for that. We want to begin this Sunday morning continuing a little series that we started last Sunday on the kingdom of God. And we read a scripture last Sunday in Luke 17 and 20 and 21. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You know, there has been a lot of questions raised about what the kingdom of God is and what it is not. And Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said that the kingdom of God was at hand. And so Jesus told us here very plainly that you're not going to see it with your eyes. You're going to perceive it within. It's going to be within you. It's a kingdom that reigns. It's a kingdom that's powerful. And it's a kingdom that has changed us completely. And we thank God for that this morning. And so we have good news today. We live in a world that's full of trouble, but we're in a kingdom that has perfect peace in it. We're in a kingdom that has one in control, that there is no instability. There is no fear in God. And so in John, the first chapter, the third chapter, we want to look at another aspect of the kingdom of God this morning. Starting at verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's something about the kingdom of God that wants to reign. It is a kingdom that reigns within us. We have to be born from above, and that's what that means, that born again, the Greek on that word says from above. And they've translated it as again. But we have to have a new birth. We have to be born again. And that birth is from above. And so he said, except that you have that birth, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The things that would work within us cannot be seen or understood except we have a new birth, not fully understood. Nicodemus then asked him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We all know what that means, don't we? We've been born of the flesh. And he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's another birth, isn't it? Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so this morning I want to think about the great change that the Spirit of God wants to make in our life. First through the birth, and then through the infilling of the Spirit of God. We find that the different places, Jesus told Paul that he was going to send him forth to open the Gentiles' eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's a pretty big change. When it's dark and light comes on, that's a change, isn't it? That's what the kingdom of God does within our soul. Our soul is darkened with sin. It's darkened with evil. Every one of us, we were born in sin. And then we find that, with a sinful nature anyway, and we find that God has to work in that. He has to cleanse us. He has to forgive us and then change us. And so this morning I want to talk about that change, that like the wind that you cannot see, but the effect that you can see, the Lord wants to do that in our lives today. And we want to think about what that means this morning. Another place talks about from darkness to light. Well, we mentioned that from the power of Satan unto God. That's a change, isn't it? And another one says, from death unto life. We have a song that sings that reads, from death to life. Oh, what a thought. Within my soul, what change is wrought. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that works within our souls, and what a change is wrought within us. And from that change that you cannot behold with your eyes, you cannot say, lo here or lo here, there, it is within you. And from that change, we begin to see fruits come forth out of the life. We begin to see a growth. And I want to think this morning about the nature of the kingdom of God in our soul and the growth that it brings in our life. Steadily, faithfully, changing us from one place to another. Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 33, we want to look at the scripture here, starting at 31, it says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a man, woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now we think of leaven as yeast most of the time, but it works in bread. It works to make a difference. You can put it in one part, and before long, the whole loaf is leavened, isn't it? How does that work? How does that happen? There's something that happens in there that cannot be seen with the human eye, but it happens. And Jesus used that as a good illustration for us to know that once we are in the kingdom of God, and that birth has taken place, and that change has taken place, then there is a work that begins to happen from then till the end of our life. And hopefully we find a growth within ourselves and a strength, a changing that continues to happen through the rest of our life. And so it is like leaven. And it says, till the whole was leavened. You know, that change begins to work in us. In our attitudes, doesn't it? It begins to work in our thoughts. When we first give our lives to God, we have lived a life maybe of sin, where we don't even know the thoughts of God. But suddenly, things become alive to us, and we begin to read scripture. We begin to pray. We begin to seek the Lord. And there is a life within our soul, just like there's a leaven in a loaf of bread, that works all through our life. And it begins to change us. The attitudes that we had that we thought we were right in, it begins to change. We begin to realize, as we read the Word, as we hear the preaching of the Word, as the Lord begins to prick our hearts, we begin to be changed all through life. I hope that change keeps happening. I hope that leaven works in us until every part of our lives are leavened with the Word of God, with the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit that comes from God. You know, I think about, maybe we'll come back to that in a minute, but over here in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter and the 12th verse, we find Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, the old law, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even, excuse me, let's read on 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." That veil was to shield them from the glory of Moses' face. Moses had been with God. They could not even stand the glory that was upon Moses, much less of the Lord himself. And so they wore a veil, so they could not behold it fully. Now it goes on to say, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. Says, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, without the veil on, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." What that means is that we are changed by increments into the image, the picture of God himself, the picture of love himself, the picture of faith, the picture of godliness. We find ourselves being changed. The birth changes our heart, doesn't it? But as we work with the Lord and he with us, we are changed. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our ways, our life, the way we deal with things, the way we react to things, the way we allow ourselves to think about things is changed from glory to glory, or from place to place, from increment to increment. In God, our life is changed like that. And so we want this morning to work within our lives, because, folks, the effect of righteousness is peace. The effect of God in our life is holiness. It's godliness. It's strength. It anchors our life. And we want the Lord to do that for every one of us. As we get light and understanding, we continue to change, don't we? The pressures of life will make us more humble or more carnal. That's what they will do. If we allow the Lord, with open face before God, allow his word into our life and not shield ourselves from it, not shield ourselves, our flesh, from the word of God, from the things God wants to give us, if we will with open face behold and let the Lord talk and speak into our lives, then the pressures of life and the troubles that come to us, they'll make us more humble. They'll make us more loving. They'll make us more kind. And the effects of all those things will be more joyful as well. The Lord will do that this morning. And so we know that the Lord also, this yeast, that works unseen, you know, it also changed the whole landscape, political landscape back there, didn't it? From a Roman government of idolatry and all those things, to Christianity, to the knowledge of Christ And so this thing works. It works silently. It works unseen. The Lord did not blast it out as something as an atom bomb or something like that. But he said it's like yeast. It's like leaven. It works. And so let's let the Lord make us into more peaceable people, a more forgiving heart, a heart that's full of the love of God. Let's let God do that in our lives. One of the commentaries on Matthew 13 and 33 we read a little bit ago, he said, it is secret, silent, steady, pervading all the faculties of the soul and all the kingdoms of the world, as leaven or yeast, though hidden in the flour and though deposited only in one place, works silently until all the mass is brought under its influence. That's a beautiful illustration, isn't it? The Lord was a master at explaining to us the kingdom of God and the ways of the Lord. So this morning I hope that we all take into our lives, folks, the effects of righteousness is peace. There's so much to be gained by allowing the Lord the place in our lives that he wants to take. We turn to Mark 4 and 26, and he says here, this is Jesus again. He's speaking of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, trying to explain to us a few of the ideas of the kingdom of God, what it means. And so he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. We expect that, don't we? When we plant seeds, we expect to see that happen if it's taken care of. And so it is with the kingdom of God. We expect to see growth. We expect that when this kingdom pervades our soul, and when we are filled with the gospel of the kingdom, and with open face behold the Spirit of the Lord and his word, and let it work in our life, we fully expect to see first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, don't we? We expect that. And so we look at the many things that, the many ways that the Lord, brought this about. Now that is a seed cast into the ground, Jesus said. And then he goes on to give us another parable in the 30th verse. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? What's it like? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But it's very small, isn't it? What he was talking about here was very small. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. That's beautiful, isn't it? That God has given us a little understanding of his ways and of the kingdom. The seed is so small, but in good ground, in a good and honest heart, it springs up and brings forth fruit abundantly. And in that fruit is seed. And in that seed is the possibility of more plants and more fruit. That's our lives, folks. In that seed, in that fruit that our lives bring forth, is seed for other lives, isn't it? So let's let the Lord have his way. You know, we look on down now in the same chapter of Mark 4, and Jesus gave us another little profitable example here that makes that seed grow. Listen to this in, this is down in We know the story that the disciples went into a ship and they were going to pass over, and it became very windy and very stormy. And it says in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful?" Folks, we might ask ourselves that today. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Why did Jesus ask that? Because he was there. He was on board. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Don't you think that they got a live exercise there in what the kingdom of God is? Don't you think their faith grew a little bit right there? I believe it grew. I believe they right there from that point realized a little more who this man really was. You know what? That's our walk with God too. I wonder if they had not been walking with Jesus. I wonder if they would have been doing their own thing. Would they have received this? I say no. They wouldn't have been there. They would not have had this little piece of their inner man. They wouldn't have seen that growth, that exercise of faith. Now they have faith in the Lord in a whole new way. Now, the next time, I'm guessing, they probably had faith in God in a whole new way after this came along. And I know we're still people and we'll still have to face things. But folks, it really helps when our faith is embedded with good things like this in it. We don't just run off when that happens. If we allow ourselves to be exercised by the things that God brings into our life, we don't want to run from them. We want to face them. Whatever God wants us to face, we want to face, because he has a growth for us. If it's something that we have to forgive, do you know that when we meet the Lord with open face and fall on our faces before God, "Lord, help me to forgive like I should." You know, the next time that comes around, we've got a little knowledge back there that says, "I need the Lord here." And you know what? When the waves come along the next time after something like this, and we've been walking with the Lord, and we don't run off and fail the Lord, do you know the next time it comes along, we say, "Well, hitherto he hath helped us. I believe he's going to be here for us now." And so you see pillars of faith. You see people that have walked with the Lord for many, many years. They're not soon shaken, are they? Because they know the Lord. Let's let our lives be like that this morning. In Luke 13, maybe this is being a little bit redundant here, but Luke 13 and 18, Jesus says, I don't know, perhaps it's the same time. Luke says it like this: "Then said he, Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." You know, God wants that to happen, doesn't he, in our lives? The seed has been sown, the gospel. Let it lodge there. Let it begin to grow. Let it begin to bring forth a tree, not a little tiny blade, but a tree that the fowls of the air can rest on, that there's strength in, there's fruit with. There's a lot more branches now. There's a lot more fruit that can be. And so we want our lives to be like that. But let's remember, it's not from some great explosion. It's from a seed. That little seed of faith that fell into our heart and life, and it began to grow. And we began to feed it. by the Word of God. We begin to feed it by the Spirit of the Lord. We begin to feed it by the things we hear, by our submission to God. And we see that thing grow. It's a beautiful picture this morning. And we ask God, Lord, let it be so. Let it be so in our life. Look over at Luke 17, a couple pages over now, and verse 3. And we have another little aspect of this that Jesus continually brings us back to this thought. A grain of mustard seed, very small with powerful results. Okay, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's a little hard to do sometimes, isn't it? First time's pretty easy, usually. Seventh time's maybe not quite so easy in one day. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, listen to what he said about this, this unseen thing that's down in our heart. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, well, I'll stop there for the moment. Be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea and it should obey you. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say that. But he's saying more than that. You can forgive. You can forgive. One place he said, what, 70 times 7? That's 490 times. I think he just simply means everything. Forgive. And he says, you can do it. You can do it. That little seed that's in our heart, that little faith in God, that we give it to him, we give our rights to him. We give it to the Lord. Do we just turn it loose? Yes, because we give it to God. And he's the one that can recompense. Justice is his. Judgment is his. It is our job to love, to do good to our enemies. That's the job he's given to us. And if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can do that. If you look back at Matthew 17, again he uses something very similar. Matthew 17 and verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And so he says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, very small thing. Jesus doesn't present this as some explosion. He presents it as leaven, as a grain of mustard seed. Something that starts within and it grows. And he said, you may have to do some fasting and prayer. There may be some things that we have to go deeper with. Maybe we have to set aside some things. So maybe everyone isn't able to fast in the same way. Folks, we can all fast in some way. And we can get a hold of God and find answers to the hard places in our lives and in our midst. The Lord help me to do that as well. That the Lord will help us to find the answers to the hard places. The kingdom's not going to come down and just overwhelm us. It's going to grow. It's going to start with a change where the Lord changes our heart. And then if we will allow it to, unseen, it really can't be seen. We cannot pray in public long enough and loud enough. The Lord said he doesn't even hear that if we're praying to be heard or seen. He doesn't even hear it. But you know what he does hear? The unseen faith, the unseen growth, the unseen drawing nigh to God, humbling of ourselves, giving up our rights to God, loving people when they shouldn't, they don't deserve to be loved, having faith when it looks impossible. All those things come from God. And the Lord wants us, I believe, to allow Him that place within our life. Let's pray for one another that we can have within our lives and within us that true life of God. It is a kingdom that, folks, it is very, it's very attractive. When people live it like the Lord said, live it. It's very attractive to people. In the flesh, we suffer some, but I want to tell you something. It has the power and it has the strength to do the things in our lives that nothing else can do. And God is able to do that. But it starts very small and it's unseen. It's what we deal with God in our own personal lives. How we deal with His Word. Whether we with open face behold the glory of the Lord, His Word, His Spirit, or whether we veil that with our flesh. I can't, I won't. Whatever veil that we allow of the flesh to be put up to hide us from the things of God, that's how much it hides us. It blinds our eyes, and if we're not careful, soon we find ourselves sinking in a world of sin and disgrace all about us. You know, we think about the scriptures over in 2 Corinthians 10, and it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know there's many strongholds that cannot be pulled down with force? Because we don't have enough force to pull them down. Maybe they're stronger than we are. Maybe there's castles, maybe there's empires that we could never pull down. They're stronger than we. I'm talking about militarily. I'm talking about, you know, maybe they would destroy us in the process. But you know what? God has some things in His arsenal. In His arsenal, weapons that are able to pull down strongholds nothing else could. In all of our arguments, all those things, we could not pull the strongholds down. But I will tell you, humility and loving people, it takes time. But after a while, strongholds fall to that. They cannot stand to be loved and continue to be ugly and angry forever. Not most of the time when it's done right. And so he says, casting down imaginations. Let's see, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Nobody sees us do that, really. They see the effects as wind. They see the effects of wind. We see the effects of wind. We see the effects of a heart that is filled with the love of God, that has beheld God's face and His glory and His Word and changed to come into that, to come into what they see in that. That is something that we behold the effects of it. It is strong. It is powerful. It is able. Strongholds of bitterness, of pride, of resistance, of loves of things that want a place that those things shouldn't have. Those strongholds must come down. And folks, nobody can see us do it. They can only see the effects of that in our life. And so we want the Lord to help us this morning. The Word of God, folks, is quick. That means alive. And powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a discerner of what's in our heart. And that's why we come to the Lord with open face. Lord, discern what's in my heart. Make me more like you. And we find out, oh, I didn't realize I had an attitude about that. Oh, I didn't realize that I had a little unforgiveness yet. And we change. And then what is the effect of righteousness? Peace. What is the effect of those things? It's wonderful things that God wants to give all of us. I want to read another scripture over here in Colossians 1 and 12. Listen to these beautiful scriptures. Colossians 1 and 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a beautiful thing. The Lord, we are giving thanks unto him, and he has made us meet to be partakers of that kingdom, that he has translated us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a beautiful thing this morning. And so, there's so many scriptures. You could go on and on. There's many scriptures about the kingdom of God. There's many scriptures that bring that out, that bring those thoughts out. You remember the Lord told them, he said, suffer little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? People that don't understand very much? No, not at all. He's talking about people that have laid aside their bitternesses. They've laid aside those things that little children naturally don't have. Those deep places of bitterness and anger and hatred and malice and envy and ill will and all those things. He said, suffer these little children to come. They provide a really good example. Here's the example, folks, right here. You see these little children? Maybe they have some problems between them, and 10 minutes later they're playing together again. That's the way the kingdom of God is. You're going to have some problems between you? Probably. There's going to be some issues come up that we're going to have to talk through. We're going to have to work out. We're going to have to forgive each other. Yes, we are. Because we said some things we shouldn't have said. Maybe we didn't even think about it. And it happens, doesn't it? Well, the Lord wants to make us like little children. And so I guess that's our thought this morning. I thought about the little reading in Luke 10 about Zacchaeus and how he was up in the tree and the Lord told him he was going to go to his house that day. And it says, as they heard these things, verse 11, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They had in their mind, this kingdom has to be, when's it going to come? Where's your throne? Where's your horses and your chariots and all those, you know, when's it going to come? It should immediately appear now. No. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Do you know this morning that we are to occupy until the Lord comes? We are to do his will. We are to be those children of God. While we are in this waiting time, and he gave us a job to do. Let's be thinking about that. What did God give us to do? Instead of just trying to I hope I'm ready when he comes back. I'm going to try to be clean. Folks, let's just get all the way in and say, Lord, what talents did you give me? What of your goods did you give to me, and what am I supposed to be doing with it? Let's be about our Father's business. I believe the Lord has a good business. You pray for us too. Amen.